23. We're going to read the first three verses in that chapter, and then we're going to flip to the book of John. This is my last series, our sermon in this series. We had four about being anchored in Christ and knowing and understanding the assurances and promises of God. And so this one this morning is called Remain. And you'll understand more here when we get into the scripture this morning what I'm talking about being remaining. And so follow along. The first thing I want to do is I want to paint a picture of our Father, the good Lord, and look at how He loves us and His mercy as I read these to you this morning. So the first three verses in Psalm 23, get this picture in your head of this is who God is. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Did you get the picture? I'm going to read it one more time to you. Listen closely. See if you pick up something else. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. So let's go to the book of John, chapter 15. We're going to begin at verse 4. This is a pretty popular set of verses. You've probably heard them before, the vine and the branches, but we're going to approach it just a little bit different this morning. Jesus is speaking here now. These are His words. John 15, verse 4 through 10. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you bring that word to life and that these words are your words this morning and not mine. May you fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here today in your name. Lord, may you fill them with the same Spirit. May you open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your teaching in your word today. In Jesus I pray, amen. It was a dark and stormy night when a lady was on a boat crossing Lake Michigan. The lightning, thunder, and rain made her very nervous. She saw jagged rocks that were jutting up above the surface of the lake. So she asked the captain, "Do you know where all the rocks are in this lake?" And the captain said, "No, I don't. But I do know where it is safe." As many of you know and can attest to, as we travel or we sail through this earthly life, we're going to see lots of rocks out there. So let me just explain some of these rocks to you. Rocks of depression, rocks of illnesses, slander, deception, temptation, confusion, loneliness, fear, and many more that I can't even mention. Some of these rocks you will be able to guide yourself away from, but others will come upon you as a surprise. The important thing to know is where is it safe in this life? Where can I turn? And so we're going to go through that this morning. Now all of us have been battered by the storms of life and thrown against these rocks from time to time. Some of us are going through these storms today or maybe right now. Or maybe we've just come through a storm and it's still so fresh. Suffering, I want to tell you, is nothing new. Expect it in our lives. But I want you to think about this as well. But even knowing that we are not alone, that God promises to walk with us and guide us all of our times, especially in trouble, sometimes doesn't make it any easier. for us. You know, as Christians, many of you are here on every week and you're in your Bible and you're studying the Word of God, and we have a lot of head knowledge about Jesus. We understand that He has a love for us and that there's grace for us in times of pain. We know that the Bible tells us that there's going to be moments of hardship and that God will be with us through all of them and He'll see us through it. We know that we can trust God to deliver safely through them. We know there are better things to come. But is always a turning point. Sometimes even knowing all these promises don't seem to quiet our fears inside of us or the pain that we might have. Excuse me. So I got some verses I want to share with you this morning. Better grab some water here in a minute. Some of these I do not have, but they'll be on your outline. Write them down. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 17 says this: "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." I want you to consider that this morning. Here is a list of questions I want to give you about your faith. How would you like to inwardly be renewed day by day? How would you like to know that Christ is your dwelling place, your home, your place of safety? How would you like to always have a deep connection with Christ? How would you like to always be right in the middle of His will for your life? And I want to tell you this morning, I hope I can tell you this morning, that all this is possible, that we can find these things for life. And here's the key, John 15, verse 4. It says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." Simple verse, really easy. But you know what? Might be harder for us to understand. Can pray that my voice holds out. So what does it mean? Remain in Christ and He will remain in me. Having Christ remain in us is having Christ with us all the time, constantly guiding, upholding, comforting, and strengthening us. But the promise comes with a condition, and I want you to understand the condition that He gives you and I. So when Jesus says to you and I that remain in me is that you, me, we must remain in Him. See, it works both ways in our lives. And so we are called to remain in Christ with a set of verses. So, but go deeper with me with that. What does that mean for you and I to remain in Christ? And the best way that I can give you an analogy of what does that look like today in our walk is a water faucet. And you think, well, what do you mean by that? Well, hold on. I'll explain more. But you see the picture that's on the screen? So when you think about a water faucet, I want you to think about the water faucets that you use in your life. Your kitchen sink, maybe your bathroom sink, maybe you have a hydrant out in the yard or whatever that you use, and you're used to water coming out of it. Now, get that image in your mind of a water faucet, one that you use often. And this is how I want to explain that. When the faucet's closed, no water can come out. When the faucet is open, water flows from the spout. Remaining in Christ is like having the water faucet turned wide open. As you receive His goodness, His blessings, His words, His hope, His encouragement, those types of things come to you. For Christ, who's the living water, to remain in us, we first must turn the water faucet on. We need to accept it in our lives. And the wider that you open the valve, the more Christ can flow into your life. For Christ to remain in us, you and I must first turn on the faucet. So go a little deeper with me this morning. How do we do that? What does that look like? And so the question comes, how do we remain in Christ in our daily lives? And so I have four areas this morning that I'm going to share with you. What does that look like? And sometimes they're not such easy areas to talk about. They're hard. You got to work at it, right? Pick up your cross and follow Christ. That's not easy stuff to do if you're going to live in this world today. And so we're going to start with the very first one, And here it is. Have no known unconfessed sin in your life. If you know that you've got sin and you've not confessed it, that puts a block between you and God, the Father. Maybe to put it in a different term for you this morning is that when you have sin in your life, the flow of water that's coming out of the faucet to you is less. It's like you start to close the valve of the blessings of Christ and the forgiveness and the mercy and all those things that can come to you. Now, let me exaggerate or expand on that just a little bit this morning. There are sins in your life that you're not even going to know you're going to commit. Right? I think we call those the sins of omission. Things we don't understand or we didn't realize. Maybe we said something we shouldn't have said and we don't even know it to somebody. And we offend them or we maybe hurt them. And that's part of life. But what I'm getting at here is a sin that you know. That I did something wrong and the Spirit has made you aware of that. And yet you don't confess that, or even worse, you don't repent of that. You don't turn from it. It's like closing the water valve of Jesus Christ in your life. So that's the first thing that you need to do in your life. Because if you can repent of that sin, if you want Christ to constantly be renewing you, if you want him to feel his presence on a daily basis, his strength, his peace, and his comfort, if you want to live a life free from fear and doubt, then you must keep the water faucet turned on. You need to make sure that you have no known sin in your life that is unconfessed to him. And repent of that. Nothing can clog the pipe faster or more securely than sin. Now, how many of you like to brew your own coffee at home? Got a coffee pot at home? Most of you probably do. So I want you to think about this for just a moment. What do you do when the coffee pot starts to get a little slow? Right? You guys have made coffee and you get it percolating and everything, you walk away from it and you come back in 5 minutes. You expect the pot to be full. But if it builds up with lime and stuff like that over time, you come back in and sometimes you maybe got maybe a half inch of coffee in the bottom of the pot. What do you have to do with the coffee pot? You got to clean it out, right? You run some vinegar through it or you run some baking soda through it and you clean up your coffee pot and it flows better and stuff like that. Well, sin in your life is no different. When you take on sin and you don't turn from it, it's like that coffee pot. It starts to plug the flow of Jesus Christ into your life. And that's what you got to stay away from. Unconfessed sin can be devastating in your life. In fact, if you let it pile up too much, it might cut off the flow totally, separating you from Jesus Christ and his blessing. How many of you had to unplug a drain in your home? You ever have a drain get plugged? Anybody ever had that? You guys are so blessed you've never had a plugged drain in your house. So I don't know if my wife, I don't know if she's still here or not yet, but anyway, she has long hair, and I'm blessed that I got three boys that don't have long hair. But every 3 months, I've got to unplug our sink drain and our shower drain in our house because it gets full of hair. And if you have women in your house, and I talked to somebody this morning that had three girls in their house and said, yeah, I do it every month. What are you so worried about? Because you do it every 3 months, right? Yeah, look at Travis and Katie. They sit there with all those girls and stuff like that. But here's my point, is that when your drain is plugged, you can't get the water out, and it's just like sin that enters your life. You can't get rid of it unless you confess it. You give it to God. And he promises to forgive you. And when you confess that sin, you open up that pipe, you get the flow of Jesus Christ in your life. That's what it's about. That's how you remain in Christ. That's the first one. Here's the second one that I want to share with you this morning. Have no part, oh, there's the coffee pot, by the way. There's my example. Have no part of anything that God's not a part of. Stay away from evil in your life. Right? Trying to do something or be a part of something that God is clearly not a part of is like trying to get fresh, clean water out of a sewer pipe. So we're talking about sewers and plugged drains this morning. Isn't that something about life? Right? Yeah. How many of you ever experienced Ben had to do some work in your septic tank, right? Yeah, everybody's been there. So here's what I want you to think about this morning. When you engage in things that God's not a part of, it's like drinking out of the sewer pipe in your life. That's how I can compare that to you. How many of you love to drink dirty water out of the sewer pipe? Right? Nobody does. I want the fresh, clean water that comes out of the spigot. So why is it then from time to time, church, that we enter into those things that God's not a part of and we drink from the sewer pipe in our lives? So I want to challenge you with this question this morning. Talking about septic tanks. What are the septic tanks in your life? The things that you go to that maybe you should be going to God for in your life. The things that happen, whatever it might be. Stress, illness, you just heard some devastating news. You don't turn to God, but you go find comfort somewhere else. That's a septic tank. Now, I'm not talking about a good Christian friend or a good Christian brother or sister. I'm talking about other things that you might turn to that God says, I'm not part of any of that. You shouldn't do that, Christian. You shouldn't go there. So think about the septic tanks that you might encounter in your life that you draw from in your life. Where do you get your nourishment? From the septic tank or from the river of life? If you want to remain in Christ, and you want him to remain in you, then don't have anything to do with attitudes or actions or behaviors or friendships or pastimes that aren't pleasing to him, that God is not a part of. Here's the third thing that I want to share with you this morning. Live a life dependent on God. If you're not dependent on God, that means you're sourcing your water from somewhere else. And I'm just going to be real frank with you. If you source your water spiritually for somewhere else, you will spiritually die in a matter of time. You'll get further and further from the truth. You'll get further and further from Jesus Christ. And eventually, he's going to dry up and you're going to find yourself on this desert island all by yourself. Spiritual death will come to you when we drink from the wrong sources. You have to be dependent upon God in your life. Did you know that each of you has a direct water line to God through prayer, through scripture, those types of things in your life that you are blessed by? But you have to allow it to come in. But you are blessed by him. You have your own water line. Don't let sin plug it up. You will spiritually die. I have another verse I want to share with you out of the verse of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. You think about being self-sufficient, because a lot of us like to be self-sufficient. We do our own thing. We don't give it to God. And we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But here's what this verse says. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And get this, hear this. This is what I want you to realize here, Christian. This is what it says. And this not from yourselves. See, you had nothing to do with your salvation. It's God who brings you salvation. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life that draws you into Christ and you become a believer. And it's your job then to remain in Christ by staying involved in the Word, in prayer, in your church, whatever he calls you to. That's your duty, to remain in Christ. You had nothing to do with that by the grace of God. And even to go further, it says, it's a gift from God to you, your salvation, through the work of Jesus Christ. So you and I need to realize that we can't even take our next breath without God allowing us to do so. Okay, practice something with me here this morning. Just calm yourself down. Take a big, deep breath and let it out. Thank you, God, for giving us breath today. That's the God you serve. He is your creator. He sustains your life. Even in your little breath that you just took. How often do we take that for granted in our lives? of our Creator. Our dependence needs to be on God as our Creator. That's how He wants you and I to live. And if we live that way, God says through Scripture, through Jesus Christ, that's how you remain in me. Keep your focus on me in your life. Know what I'm doing for you on a daily basis. Understand that. Know that. He's the only source of life. The only one. You won't find it anywhere else. Proverbs 8, verse 35 says, "For whoever finds me," speaking of Christ, it's on the bottom of the screen, "finds life." Spiritual life, physical life, emotional life, all those things come from God. Whoever finds me finds life. You get it, you understand it, you're filled with that running fresh water. Now here's the hardest one that I'm going to share with you next that's difficult for us, that sometimes we don't fully understand, and this is what it is: dying to self. So let's understand that a little bit more. Let me explain that to you this morning. So if you're going to remain in Christ, it also means that you're going to die to yourself. So think about the water faucet this morning. Dying to self is like taking your hand off the water faucet and giving control of it to God. And God's going to open that faucet fully up. And He's going to, how many of you ever stood in front of a fire hydrant before, seen a fire hydrant that's wide open spraying out? That's my image of what God wants to do in your life. Some of you got this image of this crusty old faucet that you crack and you work over and it just barely comes out. See, that's not the God that we serve. The God we serve is like the fire hydrant that gets opened up and it pours out over your life. But you got to die to self first, because you're not in control of your life, whether you think it or not. And God says, I want you to recognize that in your life. Now, here's a tough statement I'm going to share with you this morning. Some of us choose to live as spiritual children. And what I mean by that is that you think that you can control the flow of water in your life. You got your hand on the valve. Oh, I got this bad news this week, and you need to open the valve a little bit more to receive a little bit more of Jesus. And then when things are going good, you take the valve and you close it, and you go, oh, I got enough today. I'm good, God. I'll just crank it shut. See, that's spiritual children at that point. You're not spiritually mature because you think you regulate the flow. When you die to self, what you're saying is, God, you control the faucet. He opens it wide open, and you receive the blessings, the peace that comes from whatever you're going to face in this world. So who controls your faucet, believer? Is it you, or is it Christ? Have you given God control? As Christians, we must die to ourselves. And if you don't fully understand that, I'd love to have a conversation with you. But here's my advice to you. Just like, how many of you had kids at home and they'd love to play in the sink and make a mess? Right? Sometimes I think we're that way, right? Before God. Keep your hands off the faucet. Don't touch the faucet. To the river of life. Let God control that. Watch what happens with your life. Now that takes a lot. Say, God, I got to trust you. I don't know where this is going. I don't know how this is going to end. But I trust in your plan. And let the water keep flowing. And watch where it takes you. Devastating things are going to happen to you and I. We've been talking about this series now for 3 weeks. This is the fourth Sunday. We talked about the storms that come upon you like you wouldn't believe, and that you need to expect that, right? We talked about, what are you holding on to when the storm comes? Is it Jesus Christ or is it other things? And now this morning we're learning that in the midst of all those things, we're learning that we need to remain in Christ, solid. Be dependent upon Him. Get rid of the sin. Keep the valve open. If we're going to live this life to its fullest extent. And by the way, people, that's how He wants you to live. That's what He wants from you and I as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let me just get real with you for a moment. How many of you have your outline with you this morning? I got to find mine. What's interesting about the set of verses that I read you this morning, on the top of this screen, you'll see John 15, verse 10. And this is what Jesus says in the midst of staying connected to the vine. He says this, "If you obey my commands, you remain in my love." Now, we just got done reading the Ten Commandments, right? And we get that. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. All those kinds of things. Thou shalt not covet. But then Jesus says this, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love." I'm going to talk to you about a few other commands that God, through Jesus, through the Bible, that he's given you and I. If you have the back of your outline here, if you don't have one, just take it from your neighbor. All right? But here's what Jesus is getting at. Listen closely. All right? I'm going to read some of these off to you. Go home and read some more of it. If you are experiencing worry, what are his commands concerning worry? Well, we can go to Matthew 6, verse 34, and it says this, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough of its own problem." There's a command from Jesus said, if you're worried, and if you're following me, and you're receiving the water that the spigot's full open, he says, don't worry. Don't worry. Oh, here's another one. If someone has betrayed your trust, right? Anybody ever been mistreated or said something that, you know, that you received some harsh criticism, whatever it might be in your life? Colossians 3, verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's a command. Put up with some stuff. Forgive them. Move on. Don't hold it against them. Don't hold the grudge. If fear of tomorrow has you in its grip, Mark 5, verse 36. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Those are Jesus' words to you and I. Just believe. And if you find yourself struggling with God's commands, you find yourself in worry or something's happened to you and you have a grievance against somebody, by all means, pray. God, remove this from me. God, I need to trust in your plan because I don't like it. Give me confidence. Give me strength to get through whatever this is that you're dealing with in your life. Stay connected to Jesus Christ. Let the water flow over you. God wants you to remain in him. And so let me finish with these words today. If you want to keep that deep connection with Christ that drives out fear and doubt, that renews you day by day, that comforts, that sustains, that gives you peace, then keep the faucet on. Be in prayer. Be in the word. Be in church, all those things. Because if we can remain in Christ, anchored, this is where you're going to find safety in your life for all the things that you're going to encounter. I'm not saying it's going to be a cakewalk, but you will endure. I promise you that, because that's what the Word of God says. He'll take you through it. Trust God. I promise you, that's where you can find safety for your lives. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that we could just read from your word today and that we could learn this lesson about what it means to remain in you, that we seek you out in our lives. Lord, I know we come here this morning and we're all from different spots in our spiritual lives. Some are closer than others. Some may be far, far away. But Lord, all you care about is that we take a step closer every day. That we continue to seek you in our lives and that we continue to be dependent upon you. And may you do that through us, through the Holy Spirit working in our lives, Lord. May you call us closer to you, to a deeper relationship. Lord, may we always lead the faucet along and may we not touch it. May we trust in the things that we will go through and that you will provide in those ways. Lord, may you bless us today. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen.